This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life to this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Your blood would never. Sanders, coming in, and elected officials, we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord again. How many can say this morning that you're just glad to be alive? I'm broke, but I'm glad to be alive. I have a little ache every now and again, but I'm glad to be alive. Don't know how I'm gonna make it next week, but I'm glad. Now, you act like you're not glad to be alive. Now, if you're not glad to be alive, God can't accommodate you. Amen. God bless you. In the gospel according to St. Mark, there's a word for our hearing. Brother MacBerry had a beautiful home going on yesterday. I just want to thank all of our deacons for him being the chairman of the board, how they dressed out, and thank God for Chairman Smith, the kind words he gave concerning his tutelage under MacBerry and the benefits this church obtained through his service. And we just want to say we're going to continue to pray with that family. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 3, and we begin reading at verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Yes, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. For the sake of emphasis, verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue. I want to talk on this thought. This might be your Sunday. Thank you, Ursus. This might be your Sunday. Some of us have had a rough week. We've had more downs than we have ups. We've had more frowns than we have smiles. And Sunday after Sunday, you come to church, you are witnessing people that has been delivered. You're witnessing people who have just been healed. You're witnessing people who've just been, doors have just been opened and windows have just risen and poured them out blessings, but you are still struggling. But I come by to tell you this morning, this just might be your Sunday. That's why it's good to always come to church, because you just don't know everything. God may have designed everything to be just for you. The scriptures that the deacon read could have been for you. The prayers that they prayed was just for you. The songs that were sung was just for you. And then the word that was preached, it was just for you. What have I always told you? When you catch holy hell on Sunday mornings before church, you hurry up and get to church, because God has something at church just for you. There are some things that have happened to you, things that have blocked your blessings, things that has hindered your hope, warped your worship, paused your praise, downplayed your deliverance, upset your uprising, jammed your jaw, smitten your smile, and you lost your laugh. But I come to tell you, this might be your Sunday. This might be the Sunday where you go home and say, I thank God I made it to church, because everything that I needed was right there at the house of God. In this text this morning, the passage finds Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees have followed Jesus to church, and they are looking for some kind of way to trap him, to discredit him, and to destroy his ministry. Let me say that again. I don't think you got it. Jesus is going to church. The Pharisees is following him to church. They are in the church trying to set a trap in the church to discredit Jesus and destroy his ministry. All evil is not done on the outside of the church. Let me say it again. All murder is not down Monroe Street. You've got some murdering going on right behind these sacred walls. And I'm not talking about taking the physical life, but using your tongue to destroy a person's reputation. I wish I had somebody to testify with me. And they will stop at nothing to discredit him. So verse 1 says, and again he entered into the synagogue. Now, if Jesus took time to go to church, what's up with us that we have selective Sundays when we come to church? But Jesus, the sinless one, the Rose of Sharon, the Bridge over Troubled Water, the King of Kings, the doctor who's never lost a patient, the lawyer who's never lost a case, my bread when I'm hungry, my food, my clothes when I'm naked. He went to church, but here we are, got selective Sundays. He enters, verse 1 says, he enters the synagogue. And when he enters the synagogue, there was a man there had a withered hand. Now, the word withered means paralyzed. He had no feeling or no motion in his hand. And I need to tell you, sometimes life can just paralyze you. Sometimes situations can cause an emotional paralysis. It can cause an ecclesiastical paralysis that you're seeing everybody else up shouting, but you can't shout because you're going through a situation. But I'm so glad Jesus in the text didn't come to the church for those who were already up shouting. He came to the one that was paralyzed. See, it might be your Sunday because Jesus is showing up with a blessing, not for the ones that are shouting, but for you who are going through hell in high water. Is there anybody can testify and say, I'm glad I showed up this morning. I'm not doing all that well, but I'm glad I showed up this morning. Don't know how I'm going to make it next week, but right now, I'm going to give God a praise. You know where I'm going with this. You got to give God an anyway praise. You just can't praise God when he drops a blessing on you. You got to give him an anyway praise. Don't know where my blessing's coming from, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Don't know how I'm going to make it on my job, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I've got bills to do, no dime in my pocket, but I'm going to. Anybody got an anyway praise? Nobody want to text me. Nobody want to call me. Nobody want to console with me. But God, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Watch this. This man is in church, and he's broken. He's paralyzed. Here's your praise cue. But he's in church. I don't know how many times and how many Sundays he showed up like this. But Reverend Dearborn, he kept coming. I believe Chairman Smith, the Bible don't speculate which hand it was. But whether it's left or right, but I believe with the other hand he was waving. If this one was paralyzed, I believe with this one, he said, thank you, Jesus. Some of you got mobility in both hands and keep them folded. He came to church with this condition. And watch this. We've got to be careful how we treat broken people in church. Because if you mishandle and mistreat broken people, they will be more prone to leave the church and go back to what they've been delivered from. But I have discovered there is some hypocrisy in the church. I don't want to be a member of no church who don't know how to treat broken people. I don't want to be involved in no ministry who don't know how to treat broken people. You see, the contemporary church wants you to be holy, but not honest. Can I say it again? The contemporary church, they want you to be holy, but not honest. What I mean is they want to get up and holler about how holy they are, but yet they don't say what happened the other night. Oh, y'all done got quiet, man. Each and every one of us in some form or some fashion disappointed God last week. And if you stand in the church right now and say it wasn't me, Reverend, you just disappointed God because you just lied. have all, in some form or fashion, experienced some form of brokenness. And as children of God, we have to know how to deal with somebody that's broken. The first thing we want to do is put them out. Discredit them. Disown them. And all that sneaky stuff you do. You don't know the gospel, but you know gossip. You don't know nothing about this book because you stay in Facebook. And when somebody's business get out, you be the first one to want to discredit them. But the only difference is their sin is exposed and yours is still hidden. But God is going to get tired of this foolishness in the church, like we walking around like we more holier than thou. If God would put a screen up and put all of our hidden sins on the screen, I'd be the first one out of here. I'll be like, come on, Reb, you preach this Sunday. I got to go. Shame on all of you. Watch this. Watch this. There are two scenarios in the text. Either they planted the man there to trap Jesus, or he's been coming on his own. But I think the latter, that he's been coming on his own. And watch verse 2. Watch this. Watch this. It's going to blow your mind. And they watched him. They saw the man broken and didn't do nothing about it. All they did was watch. They're in church now. Worship is going on. And they're not worried about who's being worshiped. They are too busy watching the man and Jesus. And don't y'all be critical on them. We have watchers now. Some of us don't care who we praising. Don't matter how well the song, the choir sung, deacon prayed, brother Sapp played. Don't care. They just. Every time the door open. Want to see who's coming in. They watch this man with a withered hand, and they were watching Jesus getting ready to trap Jesus, but Jesus used their own ignorance and turned it around and blessed this man. Watch this right here in the text. They were watching, but watch in verse 3. While they was watching, Jesus said unto the one that had the withered hand, watch this, y'all. He said, stand up. Since they watching you anyway, let me give them something to see. Oh, y'all just miss your praise cue. Since the eyes are on you, let me really give them something to look at. This might be your Sunday number one, because Jesus is about to call you out. People know what you're going through and won't do anything about it but just talk about you. And I'm so glad when Jesus prepares tables, he prepares them in the presence of your enemies. The ones that's been watching you and shaking their head at you and hollering about, oh, that's just a shame before the Lord. And you're mad at that sister because her shape is a little better than yours, and you done got 09, gravity has taken over, and you want to holler about it's a shame how she walk in the church. You just mad because you saw her, your man peeping at her. This might be your Sunday. Where you going with this, Reverend? You were young once, and you didn't have it all together when you was young either. And just because you have got old in age does not qualify you to downplay somebody else. If that sister is out of order, go to her in private and be the older woman that you should be and counsel with her. God is about to call you out. He says, stand forth. And Jesus, when he stood for, watch this. Here's another blessing. Watch what Jesus, when Jesus stood him up after he called him out, watch what happens in verse 4. Jesus said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? This might be your Sunday, number one, because Jesus is going to call you out. But number two, Jesus is about to speak on your behalf. They've been talking about this man. Now, Jesus said, I already know what's in your heart. And since you observe all of these laws, rules, and regulations, I have a question. Is it lawful to let this man stay in his present state when I have the power to change his life? Or should I let him stay the way he is just to put a smile on your face? That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus said, I am the law. I am the lawmaker, lawgiver, and I decide when and where and how I'm going to heal. Jesus said, watch this. They were too busy following rules and not righteousness. Can I say it again? They were too busy following rules and not righteousness. You got people in the church can quote every bylaw in the church, but don't know no scripture. Oh, you done got quiet on me now. Y'all was all up in your hands, all in the air a minute ago. Watch this. Here it is. Here's your praise cue. Watch this. You're getting ready to give God a praise in a minute. Now, they were talking about him at first. But when Jesus stood him up, called him out, and spoke on this, his behalf, look what happens in verse 4. They held their peace. Jesus said, now, since you've been doing all that talking, hear the man, tell him to his face what you want to tell him. The Bible said, and they held their peace, because when he put them in question, they had no answer. Because if they would have answered the wrong way, they would have looked like fools in the church. So they kept their mouths shut. Can I tell you something? Can I put this sausage in the gumbo and don't charge you? It's good sometimes to keep your mouth closed. My mama and grandma said, you ain't got nothing good to say. They cared less about the man. They just wanted to trap Jesus. And he spoke. He said, now, is it lawful? And see, Jesus knows their problem. Their problem was their heart was hard. These men had, they didn't want truth. They rejected truth. They just wanted to satisfy their own evil desires. The Bible says hardness. Their hearts were hard. That comes from a Greek word, porosis. It means a type of marble that in ancient days that could not be broken. Some people's heart are so hard that they don't care about you, God, and nobody else. You got people's heart that are so hard, no matter what happens in church, they won't move.
But when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and when he saw his train filled the temple, the word of God says, and the doorposts moved. Now, if God's presence can move doorposts, then why can't God's presence move you? I mean, I'm not asking you to run and turn backwards, flip, but give God a thumbs up or something. You got to come here and give him something. Anybody come here to give God something? Lord, I don't have a dime, but here's my praise. How many can lift up their voice and say hallelujah to your name? How many can just wave their hands and say, God, you've been good to me? Now, I'm getting ready to leave y'all. I know the game. Come on today. And you might have to make some stops before you make it home. You ain't stopping to get Kool-Aid either. Oh, I ain't no fool, baby. I ain't just got here yesterday. Some of y'all still know how to mix it. You all straight now, but let me call you about six. You, hello, you're going to be full. You're going to be happy. You're going to be full, and then one will be with the Holy Spirit. Come on, don't lie. You're getting ready to take communion. Don't lie in here. Shame on you. Watch this. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Laughter is good for you. Don't let nobody tell you you shouldn't laugh in church. Laughter is good for you. Watch this final point. Watch what happens. When Jesus shut them up and he looked at them in verse 5 and he was angry with them because of the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, he says, now stretch forth your hand. And when he took his hand from among his bosom, his withered hand was made whole just like the other one. So thirdly, glad you made it to church. This might be your Sunday because Jesus is about to take care of your situation. Oh, somebody ought to praise God right there. He's about to handle what's been handling you. And as Jesus, we saw them, they were angry, they were upset, and Jesus healed this man right before their very eyes. And the Bible said that they were outraged, that they were angry. Let me pause here and give you this before we go. Don't be naive to believe that everybody is happy about your success. Can I say it again? Don't be naive to believe that everybody is happy about your success. Because people join church, you'll find yourself in a catch-22. You join church, and if you don't do anything, then people will start saying, well, they've been a member of the church. They just sit there.